whether it be Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies. Ow! We're breaking down the teams you're passionate about.
Thank you.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Time to chat once again with the man, the myth, the legend, Kurt Helin from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm doing good, guys. How you been?
We're better now that we get a chance to chat with you and talk some NBA. How's life been for you over the last couple months?
You know what? It was a shorter than expected break. It kind of, you know, everything kind of came together around the holidays and made things a little hectic. But, you know, I think we're starting to get into a groove. We're starting to find a rhythm. And then, you know, yesterday happens and all rhythm gets blown up. So.
I don't even know where to start. Do we start with the COVID situation or do we start with the big trade? Let's start with the big trade. Just out of the gates, your thoughts on James Harden heading to the Brooklyn Nets?
Brooklyn is all in, aren't they? I mean, they just pushed all their chips in the middle to create, once Kyrie Irving returns, and I'm going to assume he returns, that's its own wild card. Listening to their GM today, Sean Marks, it sounds like he'll be coming back at some point, and it just depends on quarantine, what have you. Anyway, once they get whole, that's a dangerous – I mean, that's three elite offensive players, guys capable of playing off the ball, and you can kind of question the fit. I think it's fair to say, hey, you know, who's taking the last shot? Slash, who's gonna are they all willing to sacrifice touches and sacrifice points? I mean, you can say that Durant and Irving have done that in the past to win championships because Durant did in Golden State and Irving did in Cleveland, but – I don't know if you noticed, both of those guys tried to force their way out of there as fast, pretty quickly, to find a situation they liked better. It's going to be interesting to see, but I still think they'll offensively, the Nets are going to figure it out. They're going to be elite, and that is enough to make them a potential contender to come out of the East. But their defense is already not that good, and they just traded away their best defender, best defensive rebounder, best rim protector, and Jared Allen. I'm not sure if they get enough stops to beat a whole Boston team that was playing pretty well and is about to get Kemba back, or Milwaukee, or Philadelphia, who's playing well this year, and you know, Joel Embiid's playing at almost MVP level. I don't know. They've got a lot of offensive talent, but they've got a lot of questions that they still need to answer, and I'm curious how they finish rounding out the roster because they can't be done.
Well, yeah, that's a really good question because – when Miami built their super team, you know, 10 years ago, they had to tear that thing down to the studs to kind of make it work.
And so
just to follow up, and I guess, you know, the question is, we don't know, is there enough pieces in place to help really facilitate this team outside of that big three to make a run?
Yeah, they've got Joe Harris. That's a huge start. They've kept him, and that provides some shooting and spacing. It gives you four starters, right? You've got Kyrie, Joe Harris, Durant, and Irving, and Harden. Like, that's really powerful, but who's your five? Right now it's DeAndre Jordan when he's healthy, and I guess Jeff Green after that? I don't even know. You've got to find some depth, but they need wing depth. They need some defenders on that roster, and the advantage is you're in Brooklyn and you are going to a contender, so they are going to be able to recruit free agents, veterans, guys who want 1 or 2 year, you know, guys who are going to get 1 or 2 year deals near the minimum will flock to them like they flocked to LeBron with the Lakers, or, you know, Curry got some of those. Like, Miami always does well with those. They'll be able to get those guys. I just don't know if it's going to be enough, at least in the short term. And their window, I don't know that their window is that long. It's 2 2 years, 3 years? I don't know how long this window is for them before. I mean, this thing, guys, this does have boom or bust potential, right? Like, this thing can just blow up.
While we're talking about the East, I've got two quick questions. How good are the Milwaukee Bucks this year, and what the heck happened to the Toronto Raptors?
The second one's harder to come up with. I mean, part of it is that they're a little better than their record indicates. They've just kind of – they've had – missed some – Pascal Siakam missed game-winning shots like two games in a row. One of those falls, you know, both of them fall, and suddenly things look a little different. It's early. But they really miss Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol in the paint. Their defense is – it's funny. Their defense was – they flipped for a while. The offense was great and the defense struggled. Then now the defense was better and then the offense struggled. Like, where the offense was bad early, now the offense is picking up. They can't seem to get it all together at once. And they're reaching an inflection point, I think, too. They're reaching the, all right, let's just get rid of everybody, you know, maybe move on from Kyle Lowry, move on from a bunch of these guys, and let's just rebuild around Siakam and OG Anunoby and get some other players more on that timeline. Or you go and – they didn't get James Harden, so you go and get, I don't know, Bradley Beal if he comes available, or whoever your next superstar who becomes available is, and try to kind of reload like they did with Kawhi Leonard and make one more run. I don't know which direction they go, but they're kind of fast – they're just getting to that inflection point. They're going to have to decide which way to move.
Kurt Helin joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. You know how crazy the roller coaster can be in the NBA. About a week ago at this time, after back-to-back losses, Jazz fans were thinking this was all needed to blow it all up and it was all falling apart. Now they go to Milwaukee and they get a win. They get a win against Detroit. They finish this road trip with a winning record, and all is right in the world. Just based in the early, you know, 10, 11 games, what is your assessment of the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, it's still coming. They're one of the teams I've had a harder time getting a feel for. And by the way, you'd ask about Milwaukee, and my answer would be Magic 8-Ball, ask again later.
Like, yeah.
I don't care what they do in the regular season. I just don't. Like, their questions don't get answered till the postseason. So they're going to be good. They have the best net record rating. But anyway, Utah is one of the teams, I just think early in this season, because of COVID a little bit with some teams, because of the short training camp, it's just taken teams to a while to find their legs and get under them and for us to get a sense of what they really are. And I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell struggled a little out of the gate. This team didn't seem sharp, but now they have come around. They seem to have found their groove again. I still think that they're one of the better teams in the West right now. It still remains the Lakers and everybody else. But it's a little early to say. I think they're putting it together. I've always thought that this team had the pieces to be a potential threat to them, one of the better teams in the West. It just hasn't been consistent yet. And that's, look, it's going to be that way for this season. This whole season's going to be funky.
Denver Nuggets currently sitting in the nine, and they're sitting at just below 500 at 5-6. There's been a couple of hiccups, but are you assuming that Denver is just going to rebound and fire right back up the rankings here in a short time?
I think that they're going to start to figure it out. I think that they are going to be better than they are. They have been. They're another one of the teams. I just think it's been a little janky to start the season. It just hasn't kind of flowed for them. But I part of what made them work, and then they paid him to do that, was Jamal Murray has not shown up, right? Like, they have not had it. Jokic has played, frankly, at an MVP level. Jokic is average. I think he's still averaging a triple-double. He was a couple days ago, last time I looked. He has been phenomenal to start this season. And the rest of the team just hasn't quite caught up to him yet. But I think that they get back to being – they're kind of in that same boat for me. They're, like, they're good. How good by the end of the season, and do they make any moves? You know, we'll see. But they haven't really found their legs under them either, and I expect that they're better than what we've seen.
How difficult is it to build chemistry, continuity, and really find out who a team is when we're dealing with all these COVID issues?
Well, and a lot of teams have talked about this. It's not just players being in and out of the lineup. It's the condensed schedule is leading to fewer practices. It's just harder to do a walkthrough or a shoot around because guys are getting tested and we're going to have to wait an hour and a half for the results. It's just, everything is harder to put together, and it's just, less time on the court, less time doing some of the stuff they want. And coaches are a little frustrated. It just, you haven't been able to short training camp on top of it. The coaches everywhere have been just a little frustrated that they have not been able to get a rhythm going. And like you said, get a sense. So you're seeing wilder lineups, partially out of necessity, but partially out of like, hey, I want to see what this looks like from teams early in the season. Then I think you will as things go on. I think as you get deeper in the season, guys will settle in. But outside of Thibodeau, who I think tried to cut his roster, can he play six guys? The rest of them are all still trying to kind of figure out who I can play where.
Sorry to go backwards on our conversation just a little bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts with the Brooklyn Nets and their head coaching situation. I know there's a few different ways this could go, but do you believe that the right head coach is in place?
I don't envy him, personally.
Yeah.
Getting those three guys to pull the rope in the same direction is going to be interesting. And again, it comes back to getting them to sacrifice. They're capable of doing it. All three of them can play, are threats off the ball, but good luck. And getting them to really put in the effort defensively, just to be not horrible on that end of the floor. That said, I think he's the right demeanor. Steve Nash is level-headed, not a guy who's up and down, not a guy who's – like if Stan Van Gundy coached that team, there'd be just fireworks all the time. He's a guy who's going to let the stars breathe and kind of go where they want and find a way to kind of guide and control them and more arm around them than tell them what to do. And I think that that's what that's going to – I think that that's the only strategy that can work there. Now, whether it will work is a whole different question, guys.
You tweeted out, and it was from, you know, obviously a lot of other different sources out there, that the NBA and the Board of Governors last week were considering perhaps a 7 to 14 day pause.
Yeah.
Was that ever really considered, and is it still on the table?
No, I don't think it ever got very far at all. It was reported, and we talked about it, but whenever I would reach out to someone, their reaction, and by the way, I believe the correct reaction, which is, all right, we're just going to let these guys leave a structured system for 7 days, 10 days. They're not going to go home and hunker with their nuclear families in their in their homes. That's just not what's going to happen. Remember the first test when they came back from break, 48 guys tested positive, right? I'm not saying it'd be 48 guys, but it would be more than it was 16 this week. You think you're going to go down by just letting them go? These are young guys who feel invulnerable and are not necessarily taking the precautions that some you or I might like them to take. And so I just don't think it was ever a viable. They talked about it, but I don't think it was ever a viable option. It was never going to go, and they don't want to go. They do not want to go back to the bubble. The owners don't want to pay for it. The players don't want to do it. So they're going to power through with this. And if they're forced to change eventually, but their hope is that you get through this post-Christmas surge that most of the nation has been hit with. A lot of the nation has been hit with travel. You get through this, the vaccine starts to roll out, and things just calm down a little.
How many arenas are currently letting fans in?
Five, I believe. At last count, it was five. It might be four. Atlanta might have dropped theirs. So it's four. It's three or four. There was only a handful. I think Cleveland's still doing it. Houston was. Tampa
stopped. We're doing it here, I know.
Yeah, Utah is. I forget. I think it's just four or five now. And I think it's, it depends on COVID rates. I live in Southern California, as you guys know. You wouldn't want to do it here. It's just when you talk about a surge, this is an area where it's just been bad. So, yeah, I'm not letting people in. And it also just depends. Do you keep the numbers down? Do you actually get people to follow the rules, right? Just stay spaced out, to keep their masks on most of the time, to do that kind of thing. If you can do that, then it's indoors. But if you can keep it spaced out, I think you're okay. I think you'll see more and more teams start to slide that direction as it goes. I will also say I haven't traveled this year to games, but when I've been talking to some beat writers who have, they're like, they go into Utah or these places, and they're like, it's just weird because people are sitting there drinking and eating and doing the things they should normally do at a game, and it feels odd. it's not what you, we're just not used to seeing right now. And just, I remember going back at the year's end and looking at our, you know, year in review type stuff and going back to the Kobe Bryant Memorial and all this stuff out in front of Staples Center. And I'm thinking, A, that seems like a lifetime ago. B, it just seems weird when you see a large group of people together in one space right now. It's still a little jarring. It's going to take some getting used to get back to normal.
Yeah, Kurt, and as far as back to normal is concerned, I'm curious with you being one of the most well-known insiders for the NBA and all the travel that you've done and the way you've covered the NBA, how much has this changed your day-to-day operations? And when things do get back to normal, what would you like to stay in place and what would you like to get back?
For me, it's changed a little bit. I'm going to even fewer games. I mean, I wasn't – obviously, second half of last year, I wasn't going to much anyway. I'm barely going to Laker or Clipper games anymore. And that's really less, honestly, out of concern for – they've got a great setup there at Staples for the media, and it feels safe, and you're spaced out and all that. But why I go to a game, what I get out of a game is I show up, two and a half, three hours, depending on traffic, before any games, L.A., if I'm in Utah, wherever. Because the most interesting part of the day is talking to assistant coaches or players or people with teams or whatever before people are there, during watching warm-ups, strolling into the locker room and having casual conversations that are off the record. That's where, A, just friends and relationships. Like, it's just, I miss seeing some people. And it's also where information gets exchanged that's, you know, that I use. I don't necessarily, in fact, often do most 90% of the time do not report, 95% of the time, do not report what that was about. It's more like, oh, that gives me some context for the James Harden trade or whatever. And I'm still texting with people, but it's just not the same. And that's what I miss. Like, if I'm not getting that out of a game, I'm going to go tomorrow night because I want to see the Pelicans in person. And I couldn't go last night in LA, so I'm going to go tomorrow night with the Lakers. But I don't go to that many games because I'm not just that interested. I can see the games on TV, and that part of it's really changed for me. And when it starts to change, I look forward to getting back to games, but I think what you'll see is a lot more of these sets type of thing. They're going to try to reduce travel. So if Utah comes to LA, they may play the Lakers and Clippers twice and be here for a week to reduce the amount of travel. I think that could continue.
Mm. Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time as always. Great insight, and look forward to catching up with you again here very soon.
Thanks so much, Kurt.
Take care, guys.
All right, man.
Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com right here on the Zone Sports Network. Great insight, as always. And I think that's going to be really interesting when we get back to some level of normalcy, how much of these media covering practices stay into place. Are we still going to have Zoom calls instead of everybody huddled around a guy?
I love the Zoom.
With a microphone. I like the Zooms better, honestly. It makes our ability to cover them a little bit better. Lloyd, I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, but I like that. But then again, I know there's a lot of guys that like that because there's sometimes where after a guy leaves and is walking to his car, you can kind of peel off and chat with him for a second and get a few things off the record. And you're not going to get that via Zoom. So it's a good question.
I'm just hoping that the ability to get out and at least watch some spring ball, because Utah had opened up all their spring practices and BYU had a certain spring availability to get out there and watch some of the guys. And we'd made a habit of it maybe two times going into Logan and watching Utah State, either their spring game or two spring practices, and broadcasting from the coach's office up there. And it's really an opportunity for me to start to build my ideas of these teams. I'm hoping that comes back. That's really the only thing I miss. Everything else I can do on phone, like contacting guys or, you know, talking with guys that I need to get information from, or I can usually do that on the phone. But the only thing I hope comes back is being able to watch a little practice.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Melissa's with us as we're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. All you have to do is call 801-285-9731. That's 801-285-9731. And if you're one of the first 50 callers, to get a scheduled sleep consultation. We got some prizes we're giving away, but we'll get to that here in a second. I want to talk, though. There's a location nearby wherever you're at up and down the Wasatch Front.
Yeah, we've got six right now. Provo, American Fork, Sandy, Murray, Layton, and Ogden. So hopefully one near you. And these consultations that we're calling in for today are free, absolutely free, no obligation, just a really good opportunity for you to improve your health.
801-285-9731. Imagine having sleep apnea, the problems that it causes, but not needing a CPAP machine. I mean, that's a perfect way to handle that.
Yeah, and imagine what it would feel like to wake up and actually have energy and feel rested, ready for your day. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. You were mentioning Zoom calls. Are you having a hard time staying awake during Zoom calls? Do you, when you get to a red light as you drive, some people start to doze off? You know, there's lots of other things where you sit down even just for a minute and you're dozing.
Yeah.
These are all signs that you have sleep apnea. Your body is not getting the rejuvenation it needs during the night because you are essentially oxygen deprived while you sleep.
Can't mess around with that. There's so many problems. And in fact, in this day and age, that affects your immune system too.
It really does. Our immune system is affected greatly by not getting enough sleep or enough quality sleep. And especially right now, we all want our immune system functioning, you know, 100%. And not getting enough sleep or having sleep apnea really affects that.
801-285-9731. We mentioned if you're one of those first 50 callers to schedule that sleep consultation, you're going to be entered in to win a Better Sleep Basket. It includes a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card. One of our listeners today is walking away with that. All you have to do to get in the running is call 801-285-9731 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, the Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make the Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, 1234. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines and put them on a nice little roulette wheel, spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is, well, what we end up talking about. So with that, we want to welcome in Davis Vision as the new sponsor of Sports Roulette. And right now, you can get all kinds of savings. If you're looking for LASIK and if you've thought about it, now is the time to help make that happen because you can save a lot of money, $1,000 off that LASIK procedure.
Back to when, either when we started the show, it might have been before we started the show, Amanda, my wife, went out and was able to get LASIK through Davis Vision, and she's been so happy about it.
Yeah.
It changed her life because she hated contacts.
I got it done about 10 years ago from Davis Vision Center. Your wife had the LASIK performed. My wife went there as well. In fact, my wife went there for a yearly checkup today. And the really cool thing is if you get LASIK and you go back and you get, you know, checked out once a year, and if for whatever reason it starts to slip back a little bit, they'll perform redo the LASIK for free forever.
To get it back to perfection.
To get it back to where you need it to be. My wife's now at 2015 vision. So right now you can get that same kind of offers and $1,000 off LASIK. All you have to do is call our good friend Robin right now, 801-253-3080. 80. That's 801-253-3080. Or you can just dial them up online at davisvisionmd.com. All right, with that, let's spin the wheel. Lloyd, fired up.
Move over, Honus. There's a new big dog in town.
So, Scotty.
Yes.
Mickey Mantle was a pretty good baseball player, right?
Yep.
20-time All-Star, 7-time World Series champion. You got to go back to 1952. This is the first year that Topps started putting out cards.
Okay.
So you've got the Mickey Mantle card from 1952, first year that Topps started putting out the cards, in mint condition. This card is considered one of only, they think, 3 to 4 that might exist. But they don't have an exact idea. The only one they really know is this one Mickey Mantle card. It just sold yesterday in auction. And I want you to take a guess in approximately where this card auctioned for. I will mention this. It is now the most wealthy card in trading card history.
I'm trying to think what Honus was going for.
In this country.
1.5?
Honus, I think, was in the 3.5s.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's make it an even 4.
$5.2 million.
Wow.
This isn't the first time that this card sold. It sold back in 2018 for 2.8.
That's a heck of an investment.
Almost doubled in value since 2018. I don't know what's going on with the card world.
It's insane right now.
The cards and the Bitcoin thing and all the
yeah.
It's really strange to watch what's happening with memorabilia and things increasing and points of inflation. It actually worries me a little bit. I don't really want $5.2 million being thrown at a 4.5 by 3.5 inch card.
Yeah.
Or whatever those cards are. I just don't want it. Plus, how do you look at that? You look at a $5.2 million spent on a card, and it's really tough to justify. I guess if you got $600 million or $1 billion.
Go crazy, but still, it just seems like that's it seems completely unnecessary.
Like, imagine if instead of buying that card, he gave me, you, and Lloyd each $1.4 million.
We would be very appreciative of that.
We'd thank him.
Yes.
Multiple times, we'd thank him.
We'd say, thank you, sir.
Even take him out for some all-you-can-eat sushi.
We'd take you to the and we would gladly, all three of us, go in together, and we would take care of your meal.
Yes. Yeah. And leave a tip. And you could get a drink.
Yes. All you can drink, too.
All you can drink comes with that.
Yeah.
And some soft serve. Don't forget the little dessert we'll get you.
And the Rice Krispie treats.
$5.2 million for a stupid trading card.
And what do you do with that? You just put it in a little display case and
put
have
it in a safe, I think. I don't even think you'd display that in your home. If somebody knew a $5.2 million card was sitting in a person's home, you become, because it look to lift that out of a house, you know, I don't know what the Mona Lisa is worth, but look at the protection that sucker has.
I've been there. It's crazy.
I know you have.
There he is. Yeah. That's subtle.
Would you like to tell us
about
brag?
Right there.
It was extremely crowded, and it was in the middle of August. It was crazy hot. There were at least 500 people surrounding that thing, and the actual painting itself is quite small, surprisingly small.
Like bigger than the laptop.
Yeah. I'd say bigger. I'd say that's a good question.
How about that? The square on the cupboard behind you.
Just a little bit bigger, but I think you're right there in the ballpark right there.
Okay. Did it wink at you? Why 500 people? Like, what? Why do 500 people gather around that?
By the way, 77 centimeters by, 30 by 21 inches.
Oh, okay. Okay, that Oh, that's actually a little bigger than I thought it was. So you, when you saw it, you felt like it was smaller than you.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was going to be, because sometimes, you know, when you're walking through that Louvre and you're seeing all these massive paintings, you're thinking,
oh, some of them are gigantic.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
What was the coolest thing in the Louvre, Scotty?
The David statue. That was really cool.
Oh, so the David's in there. I didn't know that.
I think that's what it was.
He's holding the satchel over his shoulder and he's naked.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of here. I'm trying to find a picture here.
How big was the David?
Is that the David?
Nope, that's not the David. That's not the David. The David is the one that's got the thing tossed over and he's flexing the bicep.
Whatever this thing is that has that lost the two arms. That was cool.
So how big was the David?
How big was it? I don't think the David was there, Lloyd.
Apparently it wasn't the David, so that's my bad. My mistake.
Is that the thinker?
No, the thinker is like the, he's got his, he's thinking. Looks like he's thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the no armor.
Yeah. Whatever the no armor is, that's what we had. All right. Oh, here we go. So there in the very corner is, in the very back is the Mona Lisa. That's how many people were surrounding that.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Then they're just there trying to see.
And it's mid-August. There's no AC. It was not a pleasant experience.
So you got to go during, like, now. Probably not a lot of people there now. Very limited.
I don't think they'll let you in, but might be worth a shot.
Okay, hold on. I'm just checking this really quick because in comparison to the card, Scotty. Oh, I'm way off. The Mona Lisa is valued at $860 million.
There you go.
So a little bit more.
Oh, that is very much not the David. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the David.
I had to zoom in there. I'm like, nope, that's not David.
Completely opposite sex.
Yeah. My bad. All right, maybe we should.
That's the Diane.
Maybe we should spin it.
Alabama does it again.
So, Scotty, Alabama loses Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
And they're going to be picking up former NFL head coach with the Houston Texans, a former Penn State head coach, Bill O'Brien, as their offensive coordinator.
That guy's a train wreck.
Well,
if there's anything that might bring down Alabama, it might be this hire.
I don't think anything can bring it down. In fact, what Alabama's going to do is bring Bill O'Brien in.
Up.
Bring him up, and then he's going to get an NFL head coaching job again. You go back. So this is, I thought this was interesting. This is Nick Saban's seventh offensive coordinator since losing Jim McElwain in 2011 to Colorado State.
Went to Colorado State, then went back to Florida, snuggled with a shark in the nude.
The most bizarre photo I've ever seen, man. It's a hammerhead, wasn't it?
Big
I can't remember what it was, but he was spooning it.
There's a lot of alcohol involved.
Yeah, not sure if it was a hammerhead.
But I just, it's like Nick Saban and Alabama. You just go there to, I guess, repair your reputation and
off you go.
And they get another head coaching opportunity.
I'm looking forward to the first time when Bill O'Brien gets yelled at by Saban, how he's going to handle it, because he's such an angry dude, Bill O'Brien.
Is there a better cleft chin in all of coaching
than Bill O'Brien? I'm going to have to go with you on that one.
Let me just – I got to take one.
Does Tom Brady's – Tom Brady's
– Yeah, chin. But Tom didn't used to have that dimple. That was added in later, I think.
Did he have a surgically added dimple?
I think so.
Boy.
That's deep, isn't it? It's like a belly button
on
his chin.
It's like the back end of a baby.
Honestly, I wonder if the umbilical cord connected to his
chin. That thing might have its own digestive tract.
Do you think he eats through it?
That's crazy.
What do you think? Cleft chins, attractive, yes or no?
No.
I would say women would say they are.
Women would think a cleft chin is attractive.
I think so. You want me to check with Miss Amanda?
Maybe she put out a poll.
Take that picture, put that picture out there and put a poll and say, women, do you think this chin is attractive?
Not only that, but that'll give us a good gauge on how many women listeners we have.
The problem is I just don't know.
We're going to do this live, huh?
I just don't know how many women would answer the poll. And, you know, every guy is going to say that it's ugly.
Well, I don't say we do a poll. Just say, like,
hey, honey, you're live on air, so don't say anything bad, okay?
Oh, okay.
Cleft chin on a man, attractive or not?
Ew.
There's your answer.
You said ew?
Ew. Yeah.
Have you ever seen one that you liked?
No.
Okay, love you, baby. Talk to you
love
later.
You.
Bye. Well, that's one that doesn't like the cleft chin.
No. Definitely put her in the no category.
Well, if it's anything like cleaning the folds in a bulldog's cheek, it's a mess.
You got to get like a
hi, baby.
Right
hi.
In there.
It's Hans.
It gets stinky if you don't clean it. So you tell me that Disney built Gaston to be the ultimate man.
Well, Gaston ends up dying at the end. Like, he's the bad dude.
But they built him to look like the ultimate man. And they put, like, it's a full, like, butt cheek cleft in
yeah.
there. Like, it's.
Well, it is a cartoon, too. Like.
Yeah. Well. I've always wondered about it. I'll put the poll out.
You wish you had one?
Not now.
Yeah.
Not after that conversation.
Well, if you did, apparently that phone call would have gone to a different person because apparently you would never have had a chance back in the day.
I guess not.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
It's Hans.
Honey.
1248, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's go.
The Big Show.
It's a big deal.
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
When I was a teenager, I used to fumigate farm fields.
You didn't do that.
I did, I swear.
Fumigate.
I did this.
Yeah.
No. I had this apparatus that you put on your back, and it sprayed the germicide or whatever it was to protect the crops. I used to have a bandana hanging out the back of my jean pocket. The whole deal.
That doesn't make it more believable. Our boy Sven tweets into the show, no one sprays a field of crops with a backpack sprayer. They make tractors with giant tanks to do that.
This was like an enlarged garden area.
Okay.
Well, it was a farm 10 minutes ago. Now it's in a large garden area.
It was a huge, it's a true story.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News. Normally we do this at about 11:45, but on days when Eric Weddle takes up the whole hour, which is great and we appreciate that, we move Whole World News back an hour. So it is all brought to you by the great people at EliteWorks. If your website stinks, you need a new one or you need it rebuilt, you can get a website rebuilt for free.
And F-R-E-E.
Every day I get a little nervous saying that because I imagine this thing's going to go away. And so I don't know when that day is going to come. So if you've been thinking about it, take advantage of it now.
Well, they've had such great success. Big thank you to all the listeners out there that are rebuilding websites or building new websites that have contacted EliteWorks. Let me tell you, they feel your presence and they are happy to serve you. And they can get those new sites built or those old sites rebuilt in just a matter of a week or two. Scotty, they can improve the functionality and they can add CRMs or e-commerce or anything that you need to your website and make it look better and more functional for free. 844-523-2777. Have you ever seen two bucks in the rut when they're fighting and their antlers get stuck together?
Yeah.
So this happened in Kansas, and a guy that was up in a tree stand, he was archery hunting. He saw these two bucks, and they were stuck together. Their antlers had collided and stuck together. So he called the wildlife, parks and tourism, the game wardens, and told them these two bucks are stuck together, gave them kind of the location of where these two bucks were stuck together. Well, the wardens come out there, and they find these two bucks, and they're just going crazy. You got to imagine, you know, these two powerful animals that can't separate. And Scotty, so this game warden approaches him, and it's a dangerous thing because these things see him and they're freaking out. Now they fell down into like a riverbed.
Yeah.
So they're kind of partway into a stream or a river and partway up on the shore, and they're exhausting and their necks are hurting. This game warden pulls out his .45 that's his sidearm.
Yeah. Put him down.
No, he didn't put him down. He didn't put him down. He aimed for the base of the antler on one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, probably the more humane option. He aimed for the base of the antler with a .45 handgun at about, I would say he's probably 50 feet, 60 feet. And he fired one round. And you got to imagine, because they had worn out to a certain extent where they were just sitting still for just a second, and he aimed and he hit that antler, blew the antler off.
Like right at the base of the antler?
Right. No, kind of just up above that kind of that first prong.
Okay.
So not all the way down at the base. He didn't want to get too close to the head. And when he fired the gun, it hit the antler. The antler shattered. The two went crazy and they separated and went on their ways. I just love heroism. I love when people go above and beyond the call of duty and save animals.
Are we sure he was aiming for the antler?
Or did he just No, Johnny, don't agree with Scotty. Yes, he wasn't looking to put him down.
He's like, oh.
No, he didn't miss.
That's what I meant to do.
That's not.
He didn't add the wind into his calculation.
No, he meant to try to separate them by blowing up the antler.
And I got to imagine the one that's now rocking 1.5 antlers is like, hey, man, am I not the other guy? Why did I get this?
He's walking around looking like he's questioning everything. Are you sure? Is that what you meant?
I mean, I can't imagine that's great with the ladies come this season. It's like, oh, there's Bob. He's only got 1.5 antlers.
The next time he's in rut, he's going to lose an eyeball because one of the antlers from the other deer will come through and hit him in the eye. Well, yeah, Scotty, there may be some downside to losing part of your antler, but at least they're separated and on their way. It's really a cool video. You need to go watch
it. Oh, there's a video on this.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing's videoed. And you can see him pull his sidearm, and he's even talking about, I hope that I'm on aim here. And then he
and the deer's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, the deers are looking at him like, please be on aim because I don't want to be eaten.
All right, Ann's and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. Melissa's with us once again from Sound Sleep Medical. Let's talk. I know we've touched on it before, but for those just listening, let's talk about this free assessment, free sleep consultation that you're handing out to our listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely. Call in right now, 801-285-9731. You will automatically get a free sleep consultation in one of our six offices. So that is huge. But in addition, we're going to enter you into a drawing for our Better Sleep prize pack, and that includes a Minky Couture blanket, purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card.
So one of our listeners are walking away with that thing today. You've got to schedule your appointment, 801-285-9731. But the most important thing is, let's find out if you have sleep apnea, and if you do, let's get it taken care of without using a CPAP machine.
Right. And, you know, none of us necessarily enjoy health screenings, you know, colonoscopies, fun things like that that happen at certain ages. But really, if you're 40 and above, you need to have had a sleep study done. And coming to see us is such an easy way to do it. We just send you home with this little kit of equipment. You get to sleep at home in your own bed. And then the very next day, we can give you answers and either say, yeah, you've got sleep apnea, or rule it out.
801-285-9731. I've done this test. Lloyd's done it as well. It's great. Sometimes when some of these, when you're getting diagnosed with sleep apnea, you're in a hospital or you're in a lab trying to get a good night's sleep. This is all done at home. You bring it in, you pop out an SD card, and all of a sudden you can say, yeah, you didn't sleep here, you didn't breathe here, and you just go through the whole night. It's really impressive to see.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see results. You know, a lot of people don't realize that they are essentially holding their breath during the night. We see numbers up to 2 minutes. And imagine, I mean, they can't hold their breath for 2 minutes while they're awake, but they're doing it while they're asleep, and they don't even know it.
801-285-9731. Call that number right now, 801-285-9731 with Sound Sleep Medical. And, again, you'll be entered to win that Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and that $100 Amazon gift card. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.